and salutations, everyone. I am AC2GS. My name is Roy. I am the net control operator for this, the Limark Technical Net. Been going strong for over 43 years. Every Sunday night at around 8 p.m., we sit down in front of our radios, all of us, and we talk to each other, and we teach each other, we learn from each other, and hopefully we entertain each other. And I thank you once again for joining me this particular Sunday night at 8 p.m. Let me drop for a second, and I will give you the usual links. Okay. If you want to reach me via email, that would be either for mailbag questions. Those are questions normally asked during the technical net, but if you're not available during the tech net, you can email them. And if they're interesting, well, you can discuss it on the radio. You can either listen through our internet stream or our archive files. Or if you have a TechNet puzzle, we're always looking for puzzles. Or if you'd like to share your expertise with us, if some technical thing hits the news and becomes very important and you understand it a little bit better than us and you want to do a short presentation, then let me know and we'll give you the time. Or if you have a NASA or space-related story and you want to share it with Paul, you could contact him directly. His email address is spacenetreport@gmail.com. But my email address for this technical net is mailbag@ac2gs.com. In addition, as I've mentioned before, I cut and paste a bunch of interesting articles throughout the week, put it on my link page, and it's available all the time, 24/7, to look at. I have a new address for the link page. We're trying out something a little different. So this time I'll suggest that you use the URL links.ac2gs.com. And that should take you to a link page, and we keep that up for a long time. Also, we have a chat room available. Sometimes it's busy, sometimes it's quiet. You want to reach it, you type into your browser chat.ac2gs.com, and that'll bring you to the chat room. As I mentioned before, we have an audio stream of the technical net, and we keep it live the rest of the week, so you can pretty much listen to anything that's going on Glen Oaks over your internet service provider. You just type into your browser technet.ac2gs.com. And I always like to remind people that MyKC2NJI has a great archive site. It's called amateurradio.tv. It has archives of the Limark technical net that goes as far back as September of 2006. So take a look at it. It's very interesting. Wisdom from fellow hams that have either moved out of the area or become silent keys, passed away. Their wisdom continues to exist at that site, and please avail yourself of it at your leisure. So let me drop for a second, and I will tell you what we got planned for tonight. We got a standard operating schedule. I will say a couple of words about artificial intelligence at the top of it. But then we will quickly move on to the usual questions, comments, topics for discussion. Hopefully the first few will be amateur radio related. I will ask people to check in and join the list with their first name, their call sign, and whether they got a question or a comment or whether it's amateur radio related or non-amateur radio related. And we'll take people mostly by the order that they check in. If the first person has stuff that's mostly non-amateur radio, we may kind of move him a little bit down so that we get to talk about amateur radio at the top of this net. That should hopefully take us to approximately 10:15. Paul, WS2N, will join us for the SpaceNet report, and that should take us to approximately 11 p.m., and I will return to tie a bow on everything and wish you well for the coming week. So that's the plan. If the laws of physics continue to work, and my shack works, and my computer works, and, of course, the repeater works. So that's the plan. Let me drop for a second, and I'll give you a short little comment about artificial intelligence. okay, a lot of people have reported a lot of new agents, new artificial intelligence programs are becoming available. One of the big ones is Google has something called Gemini, and it's had it for a while. I think it was up to 1.5 version. They just announced 2.0, and anyone out there can kind of play with it if you want. If you go to my link page, links.ac2gs.com, at the very top is a link to a Google browser entry where you just select the live streaming, and you can talk to it or type into it, and it can type out or talk out. It seems to be significantly more sophisticated than OpenAI was the last time I checked it out. I had a weird theological / historical conversation with it. It was very polite, and it didn't say anything that was outright wrong, which is nice. So, you know, test it out, try it out. It's still kind of a party trick. It's not real intelligence. It's not real consciousness. It's a functioning probability of what's the next word program that works very, very well. So if you have the time, the patience, and the inclination, go to my link page, which is, again, links.ac2gs, and hit that link for Google's new Gemini 2.0 and play around with it. It's a fun little toy. Anyway, this is AC2GS, and this is the Limark Technical Net, and we're open for business. So if anyone has any particular comments about Gemini or any of the other AI agents that have been announced in the last week or so, hit that push to talk. Yes, Wesley?
It's ham radio related and non-ham radio related. Three topics are ham radio related.
Okay, Wes recognized. Anyone else want to put their name down on the list for tonight?
WA2VDH with a quick comment.
Okay, what's your comment?
WA2VDH, let me just make sure I have it. I just wanted to make a quick announcement that anybody who has very low frequency monitoring capability, you might want to try listening for that Grimton alternator radio station. They, on Christmas Day, Christmas Eve day at 0725 UTC, they're going to be transmitting a Christmas greeting via VLF at 17.2 kilohertz. So I don't know if anybody can monitor that, but if you do have the capability, it's an interesting logging to try to get the station. It's SAQ, SAQ on VLF, okay?
Okay, very good. That's way too low for any of my equipment, but I wish everyone good luck attempting to listen to that. Thank you very much, John. KC2 SHO, you want to check in?
And the question, not necessarily ham radio, but a regional question, which maybe you already have an idea about, or see what you guys know about it.
Okay. Wesley, do you mind if John KC2SHO goes before you?
No problem at all.
Okay. John, tell us what you got.
I don't know what's going on. I've only seen headlines and social media posts about Salvatown, New Jersey. Anybody have any idea what's going on there? Again, I really have no limit. I'll and I see friends and seeing things and photos, and of course there's a lot of speculation, but what the heck is that? ECQGS, KC2SC Joe.
Okay, John. John, we seem to have the same problem that we had at the beginning of last Sunday. You're kind of overdriving, I think, the repeater. Your signal's a little too hot, so can you kind of move away from the mic a little bit? Maybe that'll help.
Is this radio any better? KC2SC2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes, much better, John. Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, yeah, I mean, I've been following the news and trying to figure stuff out. Obviously, the powers that be either don't know or, more likely, don't want to share. I tend to think that the government is just testing stuff. Why they choose to test it in plain sight in a highly populated area, maybe they got a good reason, maybe they don't. I don't think it's aliens from other planets. I don't particularly think it's Iranians either. So it's all guesswork as far as I'm aware of. I have not seen any place that's offered particular evidence for anything. Now, if anyone out there knows better than I, then please feel free, hit that push to talk, and tell us what these drones circling New Jersey are.
A5 LDG, checking in.
Okay, are you checking in, or do you have a comment for this question?
Evening, W3.
Okay, that was short. Anyone with any kind of idea of what that drone circling in New Jersey possibly could be?
W3.
Yes, Wesley.
For some guys who were able to get close capture of those drones, and post them somewhere in the media, it looks like they are at the size of the bus. Unmanned vehicles, or like the unmanned vehicles, but the government statement says most of them are men. Driven vehicles, aerial vehicles, and there are plenty of them. So for me, this is not some sort of unidentified flying objects. It is just a intended operation that the government doesn't want to talk about it. Anybody wants to comment on it, please, and to share.
AC2GS. Well, I mean, it's going to kind of go down for the time being as an unidentified flying object, or whatever the euphemism is, because although the government kind of had something vague to say, they didn't really say anything specific. So it's still unidentified, and I still don't think that, Iranian are riding, flying drones all over the world. So again, my guess at this time is that it's a kind of government project that the government simply doesn't want to tell us about right now. We may learn later. We may not. Who knows? Again, anyone else with any better ideas, please feel free to hit that push to talk.
To what?
Was that you, Paul?
Yes. I don't sound good? Yes.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes your transmissions are choppy, so all I heard was 2N.
Yeah, well, maybe something slipped out. WS2N. Okay. Anyway, I think back to the early UFO days, you know, when they first started saying, well, there might be something up there. The next thing you know, you had thousands of people calling up, I see something. So I think mass hysteria is part of it. You know, you get all of a sudden all these people going out on a cold night, standing on, in their front yard, and many people seeing the same one. It might be a drone up there. They're all seeing the same one, so they have like 10 people reporting on one particular sighting. And the next thing you know, you have thousands of sightings, you know. So, I think that's part of it. One guy I heard on the news, he's been studying these things since they came out, the drones, and he said that they've investigated about 1,000 of these pictures so far. And he can't even come up with one that's, you know, bigger than 10 pounds. You know, these things are supposed to be as big as a car. And he says he can't find anything like that so far. So, I mean, that's just one source, so we can't go by him. But I think it's part, you know, mass hysteria, you know. All of a sudden, people are starting to see these things in different states. They had a map. You know, where all the reported sightings are now. And, you know, Maryland and all over. And luckily, none on Long Island yet. But you know what? If I was a kid, you know, I'd be taking my drone out. Oh, this looks like fun. Maybe somebody's going to see mine, you know. Next thing you know, you got 10 or 20 of those kids. And, you know, that adds to the number. I just think it's a numbers game. Back to you, Roy. WS2N.
Yeah, certainly after the first observation, because it needs something to trigger it. So, again, it's probably some innocuous or government secret. And, I mean, that's how it kind of started all long ago in Roswell. The actual description of the vessel, if you will, was cigar-shaped. But somehow it got distorted in the newspaper article as a saucer-shaped object. And from that point on, every spaceship from an alien civilization is shaped like a saucer. So you can go back to the original source material. They say cigar-shaped. So, you know, it makes no sense that all of a sudden a whole bunch of saucer-shaped vehicles came into everyone's eyesight. So, yeah, unfortunately, people are very suggestive. And in the olden days, before everyone was seeing little gray aliens or green aliens, it was angels. There was a whole scam in the photography business where people would double-expose portraits of people and superimpose the image of these strange angel-like creatures. So people were being visited by angels before they were being visited by aliens, and before that they were being visited by succubuses and demons and all kinds of things. So visitation is an old thing with humanity, unfortunately. So, yeah, okay. Jonathan, I don't think we have a better explanation for you, unfortunately.
Yeah, I have some comment.
Yeah, no worries, Roy. You know, your initial response is very similar to what I said to a friend who was over here earlier today, that, you know, if there is real increased activity, it's probably just some program that needs to actually test in, you know, some kind of populated and, well, unpopulated, because some of it's over the Pine Barrens. Yeah, you know, in those kinds of areas, and it just happens to be where they're located, or government agency, or whatever. But you know, my monologue that I put online, if you want to call it that, was people are more worried about you know, an aircraft flying above that may have some level of capability to record audio, video, or maybe something RF, but they don't seem to be too worried about this cell phone in their pocket that has a much higher capability than probably is already spying on them. So that was my thought anyway. Well, real good. I just thought it was a fun topic for the evening since it's in the news. AC2GS, KC2, C2. Thank you, guys. comment.
Yes, what would you like to comment?
Hello, everybody. Chat WB2AHK. Well, my daughter lives in Bethpage near Gorman, and for two nights in a row, she's been seeing formations of these things right over her head, something like 100 feet up in her estimation. But let's go back to what I reported in newspapers and on TV about the Coast Guard 47-foot boat out at sea. Maybe out at sea means 10, 20 miles out. And they reported a government boat, ship, Coast Guard, U.S. Coast Guard, reported that they were followed by 12 to 15 of these things. I just find it's impossible or very unlikely that private people could be flying drones out at sea and following a Coast Guard boat. Go ahead.
Okay. I tend not to think that it's a guy playing around with his drone. But again, I think it's still much more likely that it's some research project from this country rather than some enemy of this country that's choosing this very strange method of spying on us. And as was mentioned earlier by, the problem is everyone's kind of worried that the COVID vaccine had nanotechnology that was going to be able to locate everyone. While every single human being at this point has a cell phone that does that, its very nature is to lock in with GPS and broadcast its location. So it always amazes me that paranoia kind of misses the big picture sometimes. But, I agree with you, Chet. But still doesn't really answer the question. It just kind of takes one possible solution out. And I wasn't really thinking in terms of private drone owners.
Timeout canceled.
Comment. Yeah, I just want to give Chet a chance to comment back. Then we'll get to you, Wesley.
All right, WB2AHK, Chet. I would imagine so many different possibilities, but 90% of it is not factual or, kind of like made up by people in their heads, the way they envision things, whether it's aliens or Iranians with a mothership out there. But of all the sightings, some of them must be truthful and real. And to have a Coast Guard boat at sea followed by these things, that takes quite a bit of electronics and computerization in these craft. Another thing is, when you see these things up in the air, way up, could be, it's hard to estimate, but let's say they're 40,000 feet up, and all of a sudden you see the thing make a right-hand turn, boom, and now 50 miles away in like a microsecond or a couple of seconds. I don't think a human being could withstand the G-forces being in a craft like that. They're silent also. My daughter is a credible person, not a kid, 52 years old, and she says the drones were soundless. There was no noise coming out of them. That kind of thing is interesting. No propeller noise, no engine noise. So there's something... there's something different about them, and people make up their own minds what they think it is, but there could be some truth to maybe about 10% of the reports. That's probably what it is, 90% inaccurate.
Okay, well, I mean, drones don't have human beings in it, so they can suffer greater G-forces. A lot of times, people's ability to assess aerial speed is very distorted by perspective. You see that with there was a jet plane that took pictures of basically a bird, and the fact that the bird was the distance between them was misjudged, so that the apparent speed variations and change of course seemed almost like a UFO when it was just a bird flying. So, you know, there are a bunch of different ways that people can have misperceptions of objects in the sky. So I tend to think that more than some foreign country has technology 200 years in the future, or that aliens are going to waste any of their time buzzing us. You know, it would take the economy of a couple of planets to get here from anywhere else. So, I mean, to waste it on buzzing us seems to be rather pointless. But who knows? Aliens work in mysterious ways. Yes, Paul.
I just wanted to eliminate the space station theory, ISS, which normally, when you know, you can see it at night when it's in our orbital plane, or even the Tiangong Chinese space station, you can see as well. But for this time frame, for at least the next couple of weeks, and going back a couple of weeks, you'd have to be up like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning to see them in New Jersey or, you know, on Long Island for that matter. And it's not until a couple of weeks that those both stations start to come into view. And when they do come into view, they have better passes usually. No more than that, usually 4 to 7 minute passes. So it's not that, you know, just in case people would think impossible sightings of those. And then some people were saying these satellites that Elon Musk put up there, communication satellites, all those Starlink, because like 6,000 operating satellites. Very hard to see by eye, so the chances of that being one of the sightings is probably, my guess, zero. So unless you have some kind of a telescope with, you know, with some kind of controller on it, you know, an AS-L motor system to track it, you're not going to see that either. Anyway, that's what I think. Back to you, Roy, WS1.
Okay, AC2GS. I think a couple of weeks ago there was some report of they were finding these little light glints in the sky, and they wondered what the heck that was, and they decided it was just light reflecting off of some Musk's satellites. But yeah, this sounds like a proper drone. I don't think the ISS or satellites would kind of give people the same impression of something like a unmanned drone. Wesley, what do you want to say about the subject?
Okay. So from the news, there was that all of them came from the ocean. There was a swarm of the drones. They were as big as the bus or the car. And the area that was chosen was the area saturated, very, very highly saturated with buildings and people. And that was the area where the use of firearms is forbidden. That's why probably it is, if there was a government project, and let's say they wanted to have a map, a quick map of everything that is on the ground in clear skies, because it was mostly clear skies, even if some congressman says, well, if we don't know what it is, we can shoot it because the law forbids unidentified objects to be on the sky, which actually those objects were pretty much that identified by government, I believe. What is your comment on it? Back to you.
Well, unless it's new scanning technology, imagery of the United States is available commercially for most regions. And, of course, the government has excellent spy satellites that they use on us as well. So I think they've mapped the world about as much as you can map the world. So unless you're kind of testing some other kind of drone technology or imaging technology, I don't really see the incredible value of mapping parts of New Jersey. I would assume that most of them are pretty much well mapped at this point, both by friends and foes. There's a lot of international satellites capable of taking a lot of pictures as well. And some of them are commercial. They'll sell them to anyone. And some of them are other countries. So, you know, that I believe it. I just don't believe that some foreign nation is sending drones on the East Coast. But it's not like they tell me anything, so who knows?
Snowfall amounts to 4 centimeters. Fog patch is developing near midnight. Wind current 20 kilometers per hour, adjusting to 40. Temperature steady near zero. Wind 27 degrees. Cloudy with 40% chance of drizzle in the morning and early in the afternoon. Periods of rain beginning early in the afternoon. Fog patches dissipating in the morning. Wind south 30 kilometers per hour, adjusting to 60. Alpha 5, leading index 1 or low. Monday night, periods of rain ending near midnight and cloudy with 40% chance of rain showers or flurries. Winds west 30 kilometers per hour, adjusting to 50. Low minus 1. Tuesday, cloudy with 40% chance of flurries or rain showers. High plus 3. Tuesday night, cloudy with 40% chance of flurries. Low 0. Wednesday, cloudy. High plus 3. Wednesday night, cloudy with 60% chance of flurries. Low minus 8. Thursday, a mix of sun and cloud with 60% chance of flurries. Hot 4. Thursday night, cloudy with 60% chance of flurries. Low minus 8. Friday, cloudy with 60% chance of flurries. Minus 3. Friday night, cloudy with 60% chance of flurries. Low minus 9. Saturday, cloudy with 60% chance of flurries. High minus 8. Conditions for Lake Simcoe Regional Airport at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 0 degrees Celsius. Conditions for Lagoon City at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Temperature 0 degrees Celsius. Humidity 96%. Wind direction southeast. Wind speed 13 kilometers per hour. Barometric pressure 102.7 kilopascal and fine. Conditions for Muskoka Airport at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Cloud. Just 1 degree Celsius.
Okay, guys, I don't know what exactly is happening here. Someone's pumping a weather report. Sometimes Zolstar can do that too. So I don't know who's pumping it, but I hope they stop it.
Eastern Standard Time. Temperature 1 degree Celsius. Humidity 94%.
I can hear you, Roy, but I hear you and
10 kilometers per hour.
Interference at the same time.
For Georgian Bay issued by Environment Canada.
Check my input. Not coming from out east, I can tell you that.
2024.
Thank you, Roy.
Tonight and Monday, with southeast 25 knots diminishing.
Yeah,
the southwest
the old star
evening.
Might be misbehaving. I don't know. I'll
Monday
disconnect
afternoon.
Mine and reconnect just to make absolutely sure that
knots.
None of this is happening on my end.
15 knots. Thursday, wind north.
Okay, fine business. We'll wait for you. WS2N.
Forecast for Georgian Bay issued by Environment Canada at 6:30 p.m. on Monday, December 15, 2024. Tonight and Monday, waves 1.5 meters, subsiding to 1 near midnight, and building to 1.5 meters on Monday. Higher waves may
understand.
Conditions for Lagoon City at 8 p.m.
Eastern Standard Time. Temperature
0 degrees Celsius. Wind direction southeast, 67 knots. Conditions for Lake Central Boy are not available at this time.
So when
conditions for South Georgia may be at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Wind direction southeast, 2 feet, 4 knots. Wind gust 6. Water temperature minus 0.9. Conditions for Wyoming Airport at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Temperature 1 degree Celsius.
Thank you.
go, okay, let's give it a try. Ah, it's back. Congratulations to all of us. So, Wesley, unfortunately, that last transmission you made was completely covered up by weather reports.
Okay. This is November 283, Juliet, November. No, it's just saying that if all of the drones were stated in the media that they are coming from the ocean and the area was saturated, then the matic by swarm of those drones, then the matic that I was talking about was rather related to surveillance, where, let's say, your car could be spotted in New Jersey and then somewhere in Linden, and then it could be spotted again somewhere in Queens. But that must be a reason for swarm of those drones coming from the ocean. If they're coming from the ocean, that means they're coming from some sort of ship. Back to you.
Or they could have circled around. Again, I think, unfortunately, we have way too much information to make any kind of significant prediction of what this is. Hopefully, if it's not a government secret or something that the government just doesn't want us to know, eventually, as time goes on, it'll kind of leak out. But, you know, if they want to keep a secret, some of those guys are very good at it. So we may never know.
Yes, of course, I agree that that could be the case. But at the same time, why New Jersey was chosen is because there is a ban of firearms shooting those drones in this state and to exceed.
Well, most likely, if they would have picked Pennsylvania, your question would be, why Pennsylvania? If it's got to be someplace, then it's got to be someplace. It may not be important to whatever the point was that it be in New Jersey. It may be. Again, I don't know. But, I mean, you know, if someone cites something someplace, you know, usually it's kind of pointless to say, gee, why was it there, as opposed to New England or as opposed to Georgia. Because it was there, and that's what we're talking about now. So I don't think that gets us very far.
VDH with a comment.
Certainly, John.
Two things. Well, first of all, have there been any attempts to monitor any of the common drone frequencies to see if there's any activity on it? Of course, if it's government stuff, they might be using spread spectrum or something, so you wouldn't hear much. The other thing, completely unrelated to this, that weather stuff that just turned up before, it seemed like it came from Environs Canada. It sounded like what I have heard in the past over Gander Radio from Gander, Newfoundland, because it sounded like it was from Environs Canada, so I don't know if there's any tie-in there. Okay.
Thank you for visiting the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link clear.
Okay. Well, as an additional bit of information, the Barrie, Ontario IRLP repeater is paired with us. So it could have come out of that repeater. It's possible. I don't know, but I'm just kind of throwing that out. What do you think, John?
It is possible. There might have been some link going on there. Also, as far as the drones, I haven't seen anything in the paper at all about anybody doing any monitoring on the common drone control frequencies to see if there's any activity there. But as I said, if it is something government related, they might be using, you know, some kind of spread spectrum thing, which is would be unmonitorable with conventional equipment.
Yeah, I don't think they use published frequencies. So I think most people who are kind of sniffing for signals would probably miss this one. But again, it's all conjecture. And actually, looking even more at the IRLC, they came on 9 minutes ago, which I think is approximately when the weather report started. I could be wrong. I'd have to check my tapes.
Yeah, I think it is done hourly or something like that. So that might be a key to where it's coming from.
The very weird thing is now on the web that I'm looking at IRLC, Selden fell off of it. So I'm thinking maybe Selden is kind of resetting itself or something. I don't know. It's not visible. On Selden's channel, the only thing that shows up is the Ontario repeater. So sometimes information can lead to more confusion than less information. Anyway, so I guess we beat this question up. Anyone with any amateur radio-related questions for the technical net tonight before we move on to a Wesley set of questions? Okay, nothing heard. Wesley, what would you like to talk about tonight?
Okay. So I have a number of topics. The Google Your Phone CamJot CJ1 Android and two-way radio for ham radio and GMRS. So that's the first topic.
Hear you. You hear me. I don't know if Selden hears us. If Paul's out there, I think, according to if I'm reading, interpreting, I think Selden is hearing us on the All Star Link. I don't know. I'm a little confused by the IRLP, but it's not like we actually usually hear anything from the repeaters on the IRLP. You know, Barry Ontario has linked with us for every technical net for the last 3-4 years, and I don't think I've heard anyone talk from it. So. I can't tell you the extent of the communication system, but it seems to be working right now.
Boy, you guys are doing great. Drew Selden out here, no problem. Both Wes and you, no problem. And, you know, I did hear before there was an announcement. I guess it was closing the node, you know, 9-1-26, which is ours. I did hear that. I don't know if you heard that. That came throughout here. That might have been just transmitted through Selden. I'm not sure. Anyway, you're up to date. Back to you, Roy.
Yeah, I heard it. I think actually that was our note saying goodnight, because it's not on. I have a bunch of websites where I make sure I know what's going on every place. And on the channel that we usually use for IRLP, the only thing listed is Barrie, Ontario. Usually the primary listing there is Selden. So I think the Selden connection to IRLP said goodnight, and we heard it. I don't know. Yeah, again, it's a little bit dubious out there. But nevertheless, everything seems to be working. There's a little background noise every so often, but we can survive that. What do you want to tell us tonight?
Okay. So, on the half version of 2024, there was a very strange radio. It was handheld and looked like a cell phone. And it has an antenna and a volume control and whatever stuff. And it was working at 2 meters and 70 centimeters. It is called CJ1. And it's a two-way radio for ham radio operators. And then I sent you two emails. And after that, I realized that we're talking that those two emails actually are talking about the same equipment. The second email was, what is the difference between the two? I'm confused. Let me drop it. Okay. So, so we're talking about a ham radio cell phone that gives 5 to 10 watts. And where it came from. How all of a sudden the guy who presented the radio and ham version of 2024 came out with such a brilliant idea and ready to make, ready to sell device. Okay, so I was doing some research and then I found, something. So let me start from zero. Zero PTT walkie-talkie. Zero PTT walkie-talkie is a software. You can have it in your phone, and immediately your phone, with your camera, with all of the features, start to be walkie-talkie as well. It gives you real-time streaming, high-quality voice, contact availability, and text status, public and private channels, up to 1,000 users, option to map hardware PTT push to talk button, Bluetooth handset support, I'm reading, voice history, call alert, images, push notification, and works with Wi-Fi, 2G, 3G, 4G, mobile data. Okay, so first we had a software, which was American software. And then we have a Chinese company that is called ANYSECU, A-N-Y-S-E-C-U. And it's the model number of that device was W5, phone, PTT radio, IP67, waterproof, UHF, walkie-talkie, mobile phone, 5P, camera, whatever, whatever. So there was no model number. But when I went further with that, I found plenty of devices by that company made for ham radio amateurs, and not only, with the very, very inexpensive prices for it, from $60 to $235 and whatsoever. And then I look at rangefinder B1 plus dual band DMR 4G LTE FirstNet band 5. Usually American companies, they have a model number. They don't have everything in one, all of that, how to say, soup.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system. Node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
Normal de l'Est, le route de l'Est-System. Question pour la boule ici à 20h, l'heure normale de l'Est. Température 0 degrés Celsius, humidité 96%, direction du vent sud-est, vitesse du vent 13 km à l'heure. Pression 102 points, c'est kilopascal et à la baisse. Pour l'aéroport de Moscou, à 20h37, l'heure normale de l'Est. Nuageux, moins 1 degré Celsius. Sans pour Egbert à 20h, l'heure normale de l'Est, 1 degré Celsius.
Well, guys, and I don't really know how to unlink IRLP. Anyone knows how to unlink IRLP? Feel free to do that.
Vent d'ouest à 15 nœuds. République, vent du nord, avec nous diminuant à l'île. Vision pour Belgeorgienne, notre environnement, Canada, à 18h30, l'heure normale de l'Est, le dimanche 15 décembre 2024. Soir, cette nuit et lundi, vague 1,5 mètres, diminuant à 1 verre minuit, augmentant à 1,5 verre minuit lundi. Vague plus haute, les orages. Question pour la ici à 20h, l'heure normale de l'Est. Température 0 degré Celsius, temps du vent sud-est, vitesse du vent soutenue. Les conditions pour bouler la synchrone ne sont pas disponibles. Conditions pour bouler Belgeorgienne sud à 20h, l'heure normale de l'Est. Température 0 degré Celsius, direction du vent sud-sud-est, vitesse du vent 4,2, rafale de vent 6, température de l'eau moins 0,9. Condition pour l'aéroport de Villiers-Aston à 20h, l'heure normale est. Assurant 1 degré Celsius, pression du vent et sud-est, vitesse du vent 5 000. Vision pour Belgeorgienne, environnement Canada à 17h, l'heure normale est le dimanche 15 décembre 2024. Soir et nuit, calcaire santé maximale 2, ouvrier faible. Lundi, calcaire santé maximale 2, ouvrier faible.
My guess is eventually it's going to time out for a couple of minutes. Tonight,
cloudy, 60%
chance of flurries to see things. So please be typical this evening.
I tend to think it's not malicious, again, because I think it's coming from a repeater that's been linking to us for many, 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 many years.
Wind still minus 7
you know, I don't think there's much of a reason why a bunch of guys in Canada can send all of a sudden for no apparent reason. So I think they've just misconfigured their links, and so they're just spewing a weather report, unfortunately.
Okay. It's okay.
For now.
Okay, so I'm going to continue. So then I come with the interaction. I come with something that is called RFinder P1 plus dual band DMR 4G LTE FirstNet band. But actually, ham radio manufacturers, they use model number, they don't use that soup of whatever is there just to advertise. But interesting is the price. It's $1,599. So $1,599, that was the range finder. And that was intended to Echolink, DMR, the TGIF, DMR, etc., whatever they say, the D-Star, and the compatible of AT&T, T-Mobile, Google, whatever, etc. But it says the auto stuck. So I went further than that. And then I actually find out that that radio is on AliExpress for $168.75. And it's even newer than this one with the software on it. And then we have a Convention, and then we have a TCJ1. Now, interesting thing is that at the Combo Jot LLC, the guy who presents this device on Convention, it says RF Finder. So RF Finder is exactly that that radio that is $1,600. That was the first one. So right now, that radio is available for $999.95. I look at it from the perspective of human behavior, and I saw that the guy was so excited, but some sort of unsure. So in other words, you have a $60 software that could be mounted in your phone. Now, all of a sudden, you have a first device that is for $1,600, that has a antenna from the left-hand side, and whatever it is, the channel changing from the right-hand side, and then you have a TJ1 antenna from right-hand side, and the knob is from the left-hand side. So $60 evolved to $1,600, didn't sell, was redone, and then was promoted on Hamvention for $999. Back to you.
Okay, this is AC2GS. I just want to mention John KD2BD, who joins us via the chat room, had a pithy comment to say, among many pithy comments, about going back to lights in the sky. He wrote, Maryland Governor Larry Hogan posted a video of what he stated are dozens of large drones in the sky above my residence in Davidsonville, Maryland. An intelligent reader replied that what is in the video is actually the stars in the constellation Orion. So, I mean, that's one of many examples of people who look up and don't quite know what they're looking at. Anyway, getting back to what you were saying, Wesley, RF Finder was a really unusual radio sold by the same people that do the repeater list for the ARRL and for themselves. You know, you can subscribe, and they have applications, and you can look up any repeater in the world, and it will tell you all kinds of things. And they decided that they wanted to buy to sell a unusual amateur radio radio. And it was one model, so they didn't have to give it, you know, model 1 or model 8 or anything. They just said RF Finder, and they just used adjectives and such. So that's why it exists. Initially, what it amounts to is it is an Android cell phone that has included some chips to be able to operate on UHF, VHF. And then they added some software to make it kind of auto code plug itself, so you didn't have to trouble yourself of getting a code plug from someone. You would just say your location and your interest, and because they do repeaters as well, they were working on software that would just upload a geographically correct location, a series of code plugs for your new DMR cell phone. The software, I think, was not really a finished product at release, but I've been kind of told that it's gotten better over time. It's ridiculously overpriced, in my humble opinion. I don't think any ham is going to pay $1,500 for a UHF, VHF handy-talkie. I believe our president, Richie, K2KENB, was offered to use it, to test it. I never really heard what he thought of it, but he seemed to be impressed initially. So Richie had one of those as well. And, of course, the Chinese are going to clone anything and everything. So it's not a surprise that they're trying to sell either a clone of it or the exact same thing for a lot cheaper. So I think that's the story with that.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
Ten chance of flurries. High minus 9. Forecast for an expo meet happens at this issue by environment.
I think this is what the rest of the night is going to sound like, fellows.
2020 tonight, cloudy with 40% chance of flurries and risk of freezing drizzle. Fog patches developing in the winds becoming southeast 3 kilometers per hour this evening. Temperature steady near zero. Wind chill minus 7 this evening. Today, cloudy with 40% chance of drizzle becoming early in the afternoon. Periods of rain beginning in the afternoon. Fog patches dissipating in the morning. Wind southeast 30 kilometers per hour, adjusting to 50. High plus 5. UV index 1 were low. Monday night, periods of rain ending near midnight and cloudy with 30% chance of showers. Wind southeast 20 kilometers per hour becoming west 30 gusting to 50 near midnight. Low plus 1. Tuesday, cloudy with 40% chance of flurries or rain showers. High plus 3. Tuesday night, cloudy. cloudy with 40% chance of flurry. Low zero. Wednesday, cloudy. High plus three. Wednesday night, cloudy with 60% chance of flurry. Low minus eight. Thursday, 8 million cloud with 60% chance of flurry.